What you need to know for every game to make your best bets. Will you fade or will you follow? Welcome to the Weekly Wager. Broadcasting live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios in Milwaukee. Alongside Josh DiMaggio, here's Ben Brust.
It is the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sportsbook. I'm Ben Brust. Alongside me is Josh DiMaggio. Josh, what's going on?
Sorry, we had ourselves a little connection issue, but we're back better than ever. We just got to be a little more quicker with our takes than usual today.
I like frazzled Josh. We're back, but better than ever, not sounding better than ever.
No, I hadn't spoken. I was doing a lot of hard thinking. My brain was functioning. As you sat there and enjoyed the wonderful pretzel, I was trying to get us.
You got
the
promotion to executive producer. You think I can figure out what's going on over there? I can do a lot, but I can't do like the extra stuff with the equipment. I also don't even know any of the lingo I claim to try and know. I was like, I'm Josh, like, no, that's wrong. But what's right is I'm still ahead of Josh in the weekly wager betting standings. 2-3, though, for myself. 3-2 for Joshy. Uh-huh. That's back-to-back winning weeks, so he's got a pep in his step, and as he would say, back and better than ever.
Yes, absolutely. I was very excited to see I had another winning week. I needed to do a better job of tracking. I remembered what we had for Thursday.
Same. I was like, we both won that one.
And then I knew I had the Chiefs, and past that, I was like, I don't even remember what I picked.
It's all the big games. We picked the big games, Joshy. That's what we're doing, picking the big games.
And then a lot of times, the spreads will move by the time. We have the, and I didn't really anticipate this ahead of time.
Oh, the Ravens with Lamar in the line.
Right. We're making picks before injuries fully come out. And, I mean, the Ravens still ended up winning that game. But it just, there was a lot of picks that would probably change week to week if I was making them Sunday morning.
That's fair. That's fair, but let's get right into what happened Sunday night in the, as Josh would put it, the tale of two halves, as it was a 16-7 first half. The Packers score in the second drive of that game. Run game's not working. A lot isn't working offensively, but then Jordan Love goes absolutely on a tear, in rhythm, 20 straight completions. What is your biggest takeaway from what the Packers were able to exploit against a horrendous Steelers defense?
My biggest takeaway was that the Packers need to be and should become a pass-first team. They should focus on letting Jordan Love do what Jordan Love can do. Matt LaFleur has no reason not to trust him. He's playing his best football currently. And that the offense, when not force-fed through Romeo Doubs, but using Tucker Kraft and some of the other guys, then it becomes very explosive. Tucker Kraft is a yak monster.
Yak!
He gets the ball. I sent you guys the stat on KBN yesterday. The only people with better yards after catch than
some
him were
big names coming.
DJ Robinson, CMC, Christian McCaffrey, and then Jamar Chase. And was there another one in
you
there?
You said BJ Robinson.
Bijan Robinson.
No, it was those three. He's fourth in all of pass catching in yards after the catch. And it, I think Tyler Warren was eighth. That's the next closest tight end. But he's in pretty good company. And I think what stood out to me on that list was obviously the Falcons don't have an elite quarterback. You know,
right.
Bijan, who was wanting to go by Bijan, now it's just back to Bijan. You know, he's the focal point of their offense. He was shut down this past weekend, and they obviously got smacked by the Dolphins. Christian McCaffrey, another guy where they've been rotating quarterbacks. He's been utilized in the pass game. And the funny thing is Bijan and Christian McCaffrey worked out together because Bijan wanted to learn from Christian McCaffrey how to be as best used in the pass game, and a lot of his yards after catch could be due to those two working together. And then Jamar Chase is just, he's amazing.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say at this point, he is the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah, I think so. I think it can also depend on, I think if it wasn't Carson Wentz and J.J. McCarthy, Justin Jefferson would have a good argument for that.
Agree.
And then,
but it also is Joe Flacco and Jake Brown.
Right. The thing is, those guys test down the field and like can make the throw.
I know we had a Carson Wentz discussion, and to whatever, find out, hurt or not hurt, oh my God.
To find out that
will
they,
hurt, obviously.
Little side note here. To find out that Carson Wentz was that injured for 2 weeks and they still didn't play J.J. McCarthy, who they're claiming is actually injured, even though he's on the sideline hurdling people.
Dude, he's magically ready right as Carson Wentz goes into surgery.
It's unbelievable. So that's interesting that they're literally benched now, J.J. McCarthy. But back to the Packers. The other thing I noted, and I think this applies to sort of how we've seen a lot of the closer games go, is the Packers' defense and the Packers' pass rush is so much better when they have a lead and they force teams into passing situations. Now, in this game, Aaron Rodgers was entirely unwilling to put the ball at risk or to challenge the Packers downfield. I think he took it personal about them wanting to get turnovers on him. And they continued to try and dink and dunk, which just isn't going to work. An effective offense, and especially from playing from behind, where you start to get turnovers, more sacks, all of that, the kind of stuff that can change the course of a game, that happens when teams are in second and long, third and long, and are trying to push the ball down the field to score quickly.
Watching the way that Rodgers and that offense looked, it almost felt like to me like the Packers were playing the Browns again, except yes. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't have the defense that people think they are accustomed to.
Right.
And the Browns obviously is much different at home. And you obviously even saw this past weekend Myles Garrett having 5 sacks in a loss, which has never happened in NFL history. So that was my big takeaway from Rodgers and what the Packers defense did was literally just bring 4.
Yep.
And as soon as he felt Micah Parsons behind him, he would step up and just try and get something out of his hand. And really the only big play was initially when he did roll out and Keyshawn Nixon came up a little bit when they were in man because he thought maybe Rodgers didn't have that throw in him anymore. Yep. And he made the throw, but they didn't break in that first half, that defense. And that ultimately gave the offense the chance in the second half to catch up. The run game wasn't there, but didn't have to be. Because I think that's an interesting point that you made that I've been thinking about is obviously we've grown accustomed to this Packers team with Josh Jacobs being run heavy. It's been well documented. They ran 52% of the time last year. That has shifted to the other side of things, closer to the passing game being more heavy than the running game. And it makes sense because you have a quarterback that is throwing 80% completion percentage when in the pocket, not under duress. When he has time to throw, and we have this debate a lot about throwing the open guys or making sure you're targeting the best weapons, but when they protect him, he's able to deliver.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that was a big portion to what happened in the two games that didn't go the Packers' way, the loss to the Browns and the tie with the Cowboys, was Jordan Love didn't trust what he was seeing in front of him in terms of the offensive line. And also on top of that, those guys were getting to him more and we're putting more pressure on him than he's accustomed to. And I think more pressure than really any QB is going to be able to function well in. And the good thing we've seen that's changed is all the guys that were injured have now returned and are playing healthy. And instead of Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan is playing that interior offensive line position in sort of a full-time spot. So now they're getting continuity up there, which I think is just going to continue to be better and better. I do think the run game is going to follow, but right now they're a better pass blocking team. Right now, Jordan Love is the best player on their offense, save for Tucker Kraft. And things are pointing all directions to Matt LaFleur, like, hey, take the training wheels off. Don't try and protect Jordan Love. Challenge other teams down the field. They lead the league right now in explosive passing plays. They are first in that stat. If that's not telling you we need to trust this guy more, I don't know what else you need.
Well, we got a late start, but we're here with you until 7 o'clock, so we're going to take a quick break and get back into what we are looking forward to seeing with the Green Bay Packers taking on the Carolina Panthers. Maybe a little look ahead into some of those bigger games like the Eagles and the Lions. A whole lot to get to here, especially Love MVP odds and what they look like now at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook. It's the Weekly Wager.
This is the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 94.5 ESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. But I'm thinking it's time for a change. Get out of your
It is shot down way too much. And that is a good thing because it's reflective of the performance of one Jordan Love, as this is the weekly wager on 94.5 ESPN on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. You got Ben Bruss and Josh DiMaggio here. Let's look at a future. Let's look at those. I was going to say quarterback award, but it's regular season MVP award, and a running back has snuck in there with the same odds as Jordan Love. That is Jonathan Taylor at plus 1,500 and Jordan Love plus 1,500. But there's one big thing gets in the way of this, and I'm going to need your help here, Joshy.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes plus 135, because I was thinking to myself, keep stinking, because he threw two interceptions in the first half against the Commanders, and then he lit up that entire defense, avoiding pressure, throwing off the back foot, hitting open guys. He was electric, and he is a big favorite to win this award. So, if you could justify putting money down for Jordan Love, the reason would be what?
That the Kansas City Chiefs have not the easiest schedule. That randomness can happen. Their next 3 weeks is Bills, Broncos, Colts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is a where are they at for those? I'd be
they
interested.
They are at Bills, at Broncos, and home against the Colts. They then travel on the road to the Cowboys. They play the Texans at home and the Chargers at home, and that takes us up to December 14th. So
that is not...
No. I want to preface any opinion I give on Jordan Love is I think Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. I think the return of Rashee Rice is going
forget your preface.
Is going to sort of propel him, and he's going to be able to put up some gaudy pass counting numbers. Here's the thing with the MVP as it currently is, and sort of NFL award voting. They rely on the voters on the MVP, rely on counting stats in a way other leagues don't anymore.
Explain to those who don't know what you mean.
In baseball, they rely heavily on advanced statistics like WAR and things that sort of try and culminate more than one thing into a singular stat. We no longer prefer the batting average. RBI doesn't mean as much as it used to. Wins for pitchers and a Cy Young is not that important if they're not getting the
Paul
run.
Schemes.
Yes, correct. Basketball's gone the same way, where it's a lot of the advanced metrics. I've heard you rattle off the numbers before. And then hockey is much the same. They have a Corsi score as well that is like a measure of a guy. What they do in the NFL is they look at how many passing yards did you have, how many passing touchdowns did you have, how many interceptions did you have, and then what was your team's wins? And that is the last sort of place where that happens. Now, if you look at Jordan Love and take in terms like his EPA's expected points added, his CPOE, there are all sorts of numbers that can say, hey, this guy's playing amongst, like, in all of these, one of the best in all of the NFL. The case to make for Jordan Love is the Packers end up with the one seed in the NFC, he starts to put together gaudier passing stats with touchdowns and yardage rising, because there's a chance here that Josh Jacobs in the run game just never functions quite the way we would like to. I think we're all expecting them to go back more towards what we saw last season, and I think even a happy medium puts Jordan Love in a really good spot. So if they are relying on the pass more, if they are relying on Jordan more, all those numbers are going to make a pretty good case for him. And to win MVP, you pretty much need to finish in the top two in your conference.
Yeah, here's where I go with it. It all comes down to your belief in him in games where, again, we can be honest, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys, even the Bengals to a degree, their defenses are not great, especially those pass defenses.
Yep.
Watched the Eagles quite a bit. They have some good outside players, but they don't have that dominant pass rush that you've seen. They still have some guys. Can he put those numbers up against the Eagles on Monday night, against the Lions on Thanksgiving? For a double, for a plethora of reasons, you're playing really good teams in your NFC, and you're playing in a big stage.
Yes.
So it's the double whammy. You're doing it in front of a huge audience, and you're doing it in front of those quality opponents.
Narrative is extremely important as well. That's probably the last remaining factor outside of the counting stats. If you play big games on a big stage against good opponents, you will get a lot of attention. What you need to do to sort of win one of these MVPs is, in the games you're supposed to win by a lot, you need to go out and win them by a lot and put up impressive numbers. No one goes back and says, well, he had 350-plus yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So really, is the fact that he leads the league in passing that impressive when you look back at all of the numbers? They don't do that. What they do is, does he have the thresholds, I think, and is nobody, like, leaps and bounds above him? And then, what do I remember Jordan Love doing? Do I remember him going out against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles and putting on a show? Against the Lions on Thanksgiving, against the Ravens, which if I were to guess is probably going to be a primetime game when push comes to shove, because that will be in the flex schedule portion of the season.
A Sunday?
And I imagine
one of those Saturday games?
Yeah. And I imagine one of those will be because the Ravens are looking to get back into action with Lamar Jackson. So that's going to be a meaningful game for both teams, and that's two premier franchises in all the NFL. So, yeah, you have to kind of piece all of those things together to end up as the MVP. Jordan Love certainly has a path, and the odds reflect that. He's not the favorite. There are a few quarterbacks even ahead of him. I'm going to go ahead and just cross off Jonathan Taylor and cross him into Offensive Player of the Year. That's a number I would feel comfortable with. But what we saw happen last week, and I think ever since that 4th-and-2 play call where Matt LaFleur didn't want to go for it and then ended up going for it, and he completed the pass to Jordan Love, to Tucker Kraft, is we can trust this guy and we don't have to try and protect him. And when we need him, to be Jordan, to make incredible throws, to challenge other teams down the field, he's more than capable of doing it, and he's not going to make the boneheaded play. His turnover-worthy play rate has dropped to, like, one of the lowest in all of the NFL. He's only making the ball available for turnover at a 3% rate. Aaron Rodgers is higher than that. Patrick Mahomes is higher than that. Jared Goff is higher than that. So it's just, there's a lot of things that work in his favor. It's just, you're competing with, I don't know, the biggest star in American sports right now in Patrick Mahomes, and the franchise we've all come accustomed to.
Ben Bruss, Josh DiMaggio, get us on the Carbos Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. You had some of the others just for reference. Josh Allen, Drake May, and Matthew Stafford ahead of Love. I don't see, like, I think the Rams are a good team, but Stafford.
Yeah.
He's played well. If Puka stays healthy.
Yeah.
But if Puka does not, then it hurts his chances way more, because it's just their offense is not the same, because Devontae is good, but he's not who he once was. Nope. Drake May is interesting. I find it hard to believe a second-year quarterback. Yeah. They have a soft schedule, though.
They're going to make him wait.
They have a soft schedule, but he will put his name in this, I am around for this type of award,
yes,
moving forward. Obviously, Josh Allen is going to be in there because he's just Josh Allen. So that's the regular season MVP. Micah Parsons still the favorite ahead of Myles Garrett, who, I mean, statistically speaking, may be having a better year. But the story and narrative behind Micah Parsons is they are 5-1-1, and he is double-teamed more than Myles Garrett, believe it or not.
Yeah, he's being double-teamed, at least double-teamed, because there's oftentimes triple-teams.
20-plus percent of the time.
I think his rate is like 60, where they are sending either a chip, a double team, like a straight up double
straight
team,
up.
Or they have someone there. So that rate is crazy for any singular player. And I think the leaving Jerry Jones, the way Jerry Jones had talked about him, like, we're better off without him, we don't need him.
Watching them
here,
not be better off,
right,
without him, then say, hey, we're looking at Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby.
I think all of that is influencing him being the favorite on that. And I do think there is a case to be made of just, like, who's making the biggest impact on the most important defense versus Myles Garrett kind of one man showing his way into a good but not all that impactful season when it comes to wins and losses. I think you can make the case because Micah Parsons has made some big sacks in big moments, and I think that also stands out narrative-wise like it does for a quarterback playing in prime time.
Are there any other props out there season-long as we're heading into week 9 of the NFL where you're like, yeah, some of these guys make sense. Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, comeback player, head coach, some of those other options, because I think we talked about the two main ones that seem, or the three main ones that have pretty easy selections for you to sort through if you pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, I would say run out and bet Shane Steichen while you can still get even plus 110 on it.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like a shoo-in for head coach of the year. Mike Vrabel is there, and there is a case to be made for Mike Vrabel just because of the way things went down in Tennessee, the way that franchise fell apart. But I do think Shane Steichen, the Colts, I mean, they've already racked up more wins than I anticipated them to, and I have no reason not to believe they aren't going to be real throughout the regular season. What happens in the playoffs, I have literally no idea. But he gets the benefit of revitalizing a guy who is sort of cast off in the third option, and then taking his team to the playoffs and finishing most likely in a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel is a good story. But I think him walking into Drake May,
yes,
is a little bit different than Steichen rejuvenating the franchise with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
And the investment that they made at quarterback with Anthony Richardson and going away from that and just going with the guy that he knows is going to help them win the most games.
This award seemingly always goes to the team who outperforms preseason expectations. If you look back through the history of it, Kevin Stefanski, I believe, has 2 of them. Dan Campbell has 1 or 2 of them. They're numbers that... that is a big, did you do better than everybody anticipated? Do you have this franchise looking a way that we didn't expect them to? So plus 110 to me is a huge advantage, even though the odds aren't that great. I also think offensive rookie of the year has a good case for Tyler Warren at plus 475. I know Jackson Dart is the current favorite at minus 106.
He can do some dumb things quick, and he was rolling with Scadaboo. What does he look like without him?
Yes, correct. And I think that one is I think Jackson Dart's good. I don't think he's going to be like a superstar.
He's like on a Lynn Sandy run.
Yes.
He may not be like irrelevant moving forward,
right?
But like, this run has been impressive. What can he do over, you know, now that they have film and that sort of thing? That's what,
yes,
you got to be scared of if you're betting him as a favorite.
Yeah, and I do think if the offense looks as good as it has for the Colts and Tyler Warren keeps doing what he's doing, I mean, he's leading all tight ends in the NFL in yards right now. So just the fact of a guy at the end of the season having all those stats, to me, he's a shoe-in for that. If Jackson
Shoo-in, you use that and gaudy a lot today for all the times I get yelled at for using the same words over and over.
Tyler, he's the one everyone wants to talk about. He didn't go first. He's the best football, you know, the football guy. He came in with all the acclaim and then just ends up being, I don't know, one of the best rookies in all the NFL this year.
Yeah, Emeka Ekbuka has been pretty average the last 3 weeks since his huge explosion.
Yeah, he's been battling injury. He's a possibility. I believe in the Buccaneers less than the Colts right now, which is kind of a weird thing to say.
It is, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's why I don't know.
They just had so much like turnover each week with Godwin coming back, then Godwin being hurt, then Mike Evans coming back and Mike Evans getting hurt, another role, and Tez Johnson out there on more of a big role, which is a big big spot for Emeka Ekbuka to be like, you're the guy now.
Right. And
he probably benefited from having others around him.
Yes. I think at this point, it's Rashad White, who is the backup to Bucky Irving, and it is also Emeka Ekbuka. So if you're going to stop the Buccaneers, you know where you're looking. The Colts, you have to stop Jonathan Taylor if you want
any chance.
And
Michael Pittman's having a hell of a year,
too. Yes.
More weekly wager coming up next as we take a look at some of these divisions as we're getting near the halfway point, if you want to choose this as the halfway, with some teams having bye and some not, but we're getting there. So we'll take a look at some of these division props, as some of them are runaways, like the Buccaneers minus 835 to win the NFC South, but there are some closer ones that we think are worth discussing with you. That is next. It is the weekly wager on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Ben Bruss, Josh DiMaggio. Chris Larson's running the show. Going through a little bit of these divisional odds as we're about halfway through this NFL season. You know, it just goes way too fast. We'll start with this one, Joshy. The AFC North, your 2-5 Ravens are -127 to win the division, despite the Steelers being at the top, I believe, 4-3.
Yeah, for those wondering, yes.
4-3?
Yes, 4-3. Yes, the Ravens are only 2-5. Yes, the Steelers and Bengals technically have better winning percentages than those teams, but the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson are favorites to win this. They are -127. To me, this is the last chance to get on the train. I think 127 is a very interesting spot because you know they have to come back. You know they have to string together quite a few wins, but if you look at their schedule bears out well.
It starts with who they play tomorrow.
Yeah. So the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, this is all based on his health. If he's able to stay healthy throughout the rest of the season, you like them in pretty much every single game. And they've had a litany of injuries on the defensive side, but some of those guys are coming back and aren't done for the season. So I expect the Ravens to kind of dispatch it. I believe they play the Steelers twice more. I believe they have a chance to really make waves inside of their own division against teams that they should really beat. And that, to me, just seems like they're going to blow out the Dolphins. It's going to be a Lamar Jackson laser show. And then this number is going to be even more in favor of them next week. And it's just going to keep moving in their direction with each successive win.
I'm with you. I think the Bengals will make a run at it. Like, I do like Joe Flacco back there for them, but they're still a flawed football team despite all the talent.
Their
defense is bad. Yep. They have another guy requesting a trade,
yeah.
Being a linebacker. Get it now before it goes even higher for you, where you had to lay even more money. The AFC East, Bills, Patriots are the only two in contention as the Jets and Dolphins. Stink, stink, stink. Man, this one would be, it feels, I probably wouldn't do it. I like Drake May so much that I would want to, like, you know, root for him and the success of Drake May. But the Bills are the Bills, and Josh Allen hasn't even been Josh Allen. James Cook is probably one of the most underrated running backs in the NFL, and it's just it's theirs until it's not.
Yeah, this is one of those where I would just not try and get too cute about it. I think the Patriots are a good story. I think the Patriots are a playoff team, and I think they're even a team that could, like the Packers in 2023, end up upsetting a team based on just the individual performance of Drake May. This team was picked to be either the worst or second worst in the division. Everyone thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And I do think they still have their clear deficiencies. I certainly don't think they're a real Super Bowl contender of any sorts. The only case you have to make here, really, of this not being Josh Allen in the Bills division is something going way wrong for the Bills that you can't really forecast with any sort of accuracy. So to me, it's still the Bills. Trust the guy who won the MVP and just move forward. They play again. They can split that series. And I don't believe in that roster enough as much as I believe in Drake May.
Well, the AFC West is really fascinating because the Chiefs have the best odds, but they are tied in the standings for second, with the Chargers both being 5-3. The Chiefs, away from Arrowhead, are 1-2. And we just talked about how the Chiefs have two tough games on the road. The Broncos are at 6-2 in the lead. I would probably lay... I'm still thinking that even though this run the last 4 to 5 weeks since they lost two games, the Chiefs have looked good. I think there can be some chaos in this AFC West that I wouldn't mind looking at the Broncos or the Chargers, because the Broncos defense is elite. It's an elite defense. It just goes to which quarterback do you trust more? Which coaching staff do you trust more? The Sean Payton and Bo Nix, or the Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert?
Yeah, we'll have a much better feel of where we should place our money. It also will probably be less of a good bet for us next week. But the Chiefs and Broncos play this week. the Chiefs play on the road. So if they beat the Broncos on the road, I think that's pretty much curtains for it. And you can say, well, here we go. They do play the Broncos in week 17. But they do also have the Titans and Raiders left on their schedule. And whatever you think of the Cowboys and Texans, those are all lower rung teams to me. I think the Broncos is a fine bet. I don't believe in Sean Payton, nor do I believe in Bo Nix that way. I think the Broncos have ended up on the lucky end of a few games throughout the course of the season. I think I'd be perfectly fine betting the Broncos, but also as I've kind of operated the past two seasons, is I'm just going to bet on the Chiefs until I can't anymore, and I think that applies to the division. The thing with the
you have your narrative and you're sticking to it.
The thing with the Chargers is they're just so injured on that offensive line. They have injuries also in their defensive backfield, so I think they're a good team. And I think they're just sort of snake bitten.
We're going to skip the AFC South. We're going to skip the NFC East. We're going to skip the NFC South. And we're also going to skip the NFC West because I'm so sick of the NFC West just being like Rams plus 105, Seahawks plus 230, Niners plus 250. It's just like, I think the Rams are the best. The Rams and Seahawks are good.
Yeah. The only interesting one to talk about would possibly be the Seahawks.
Correct. But I want to get your thoughts on Packers-Lions because at the end of the day, the Lions are still scary.
Yes.
from a what they can do anytime, any game. And they obviously have invested a lot into their core. They just re-signed Aiden Hutchinson today to a bigger contract. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, not re-signed, but extended. Yes. Because he's on his rookie deal. Packers-Lions. Packers minus 130, Lions plus 120.
Yeah, there's an interesting anomaly happening here with both the NFC as a whole and the NFC North. The Lions are actually favored to win the NFC conference over the Packers, which would mean they think in a one-game sample size that the Packers are going to lose to the Lions.
And I believe the Packers are ahead of them in the Super Bowl odds, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, Lions just ahead in Super Bowl and NFC Championship, which would make sense for those futures. And then, yes, the Packers are favorite in the division.
Yeah, and the decision you and I and everyone else has to make is, are the Packers we saw in the second half in the first two games of the season the real Packers? And when it's a big game and there's higher stakes and you know that there's pressure on you, are they going to perform that way? Or are they going to go out and lay eggs, look inconsistent, have struggles on special teams, and bash their head against a wall by throwing fly routes to Romeo Doubs and running into the backs of their line with Josh Jacobs? All those
things. Can they just try an outside zone? let's just see. I know. Yeah, they went away with it because it's not his style. But maybe just try it. It was successful.
Yeah,
with Aaron Jones. I know he's not that type of runner, but maybe just try it.
Yeah, minus 130 is a good number, and that's basically telling us that hey, the Packers have the advantage in the division. I think the Packers are clearly the better team. I think when the Lions get pressed by the good teams, they look like the worst team. I did not think they looked particularly good against the Chiefs. The Packers game we all watched, and it looked like two totally different teams.
They're really good at beating up on the teams that they're supposed to beat up on.
Yes, and they love to put on a Dan show. Campbell show. Yeah. They score as many
points. It's almost Bielema-ish
yes.
when the Badgers would play teams that they were better than. They would just run it up.
They score as many points as humanly possible. They get gaudy stats for their guys.
Gaudy.
And then everybody loves to be like, this team is really good. Look at all these yards Amon-Ra has. And it's like, well, yeah, they were throwing it up 17 with
up 24 running like bringing him in motion, sending him out, getting touchdown Amon-Ra.
Right. So they put up these big numbers. I do think they're a good team. Don't get me wrong on that. I do think they are safely and securely in the Super Bowl contenders. But I do think they're in the second tier. And if I were to make out that tier, I put the Packers slightly ahead of them. I think the Packers' schedule also is quite favorable to them the rest of the way. And the weirdly, that tie is working in the Packers' favor in a way where win percentage and that matters in terms of standing, that could sneaky be even if they split.
I bet you that's why the odds are what they are.
Yes.
And $50 of difference of what you'd have from a value standpoint.
Yes.
But I do want to make sure we get to all of our picks.
Yes.
Five games. Josh, he's got two winning weeks. We got to see what's on the
look
docket.
Now.
Coming up next, it's the Weekly Wager. We give you five games, 16 and 13 versus whatever Josh is next.
This is the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 94.5 ESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
Let's get right to it. Time for the picks on the Weekly Wager. Ben, 16 and 13 overall. Joshy, 11 and 18, but he had a winning week, so he's feeling good. We start with Thursday Night Football. The Ravens minus 8 on the road in Miami. Joshy, you want me to go first or you to go first?
I can take this one. Feel really confident about this one.
I'm guessing you're going Ravens.
As much as the Miami Dolphins absolutely smoked
the Falcons.
Lamar Jackson's back. They're going to want to sort of show everyone, hey, this is who we are and this is what we should be, and we're coming for everything in the AFC. So, yeah, I'm taking the Ravens minus 8.
I'm with you. I'm a Lamar guy. I'm a big proponent of if they set him out and he's coming back, he's going to play full go.
Yes.
They're going to spank the crap out of this team is flawed.
Let's save the Packers for last.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chiefs at Bills. I don't see a spread, but I see an over-under.
That one is.
I can get that, too. I have my Pottawatomie Sportsbook open. I am at NFL Spreads and Money Lines. What did I say?
Is it off the board?
No, it's not off the board. What game is it?
There it is. Bills.
Bills plus 2 at home against the Chiefs.
As much as I would like a team like the Bills getting plus points, I think it's still the Patrick Mahomes, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, who somehow appeared and almost had 100 yards receiving out of the clouds. I like the Chiefs minus 2. I think they are good enough and have enough there to win by a field goal.
Give me the Bills, Joshy. Give me the Bills. We're already opposite on one, which is always fun to see. Seahawks minus 3 at Washington. I bet we both are on the same side here.
The Seahawks?
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. I actually can't wait to put this in a ticket here at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. The defense is very solid. Mike McDonald is a pretty good coach. And I'm a Sam Darnold guy. Like, I think he's not the greatest quarterback, but the Commanders are just kind of, they just kind of exist, if we're being honest.
They're also one of the most efficient offenses in all the NFL right now with the Seahawks. So I think that the Commanders are in a bad spot. They're old and slow and breaking down.
Yep, I am with you there. How about the Cardinals plus 2.5 at the Cowboys, Monday Night Football?
I'm back and forth on this one. I think I have to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah,
here.
Give me the boys. Give me the boys. Yeah. Sorry, I can't trust the Cardinals. I know the over-under's high, and I know you talked about last week you like to take a team with the high over-under that's an underdog.
If this was 3, you could talk me into it.
Kyler just, like,
he sinks. He sinks.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
He probably will put up good numbers, but he won't win them the game. He'll lose them the game. That's what he does.
And the thing with the Cardinals that is making me feel more confident in the Cowboys is their offensive attack outside of Trey McBride is just not that good, not that explosive.
No, they've had a ton of running back injuries and Marvin Harrison and Michael Wilson.
Harrison looks to be like he'd be a nice number 2 on some teams.
For
right
sure.
Now.
He can't lead a receiving corps.
Yeah.
So that has us opposite only on one, right? We both have the Ravens, the Seahawks, and the Cowboys. I have the Bills, you have the Chiefs. Go with 1 minute to go here. Packers, Panthers, keep it tight. Panthers plus 13.5.
I'm going Panthers.
I'm Panthers too. Packers, until they put teams away, are going to make me take those points. Bryce Young is playing. He's not great, but he isn't as bad as people think he is.
Also, it wasn't that long ago. Was it around Christmas or was it around Thanksgiving that the Packers ended up playing?
2 years ago.
2 years
it was
ago.
Joe Barry's defense that gave up a lot of yards against.
Yeah, it was to that point, it was Bryce Young's best game of his career. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. It's just 13.5 is so much, so many points for a team. You've got a big game coming up against the Eagles.
Yeah, you got to take the points.
Yeah.
All right. We're either really good or we're really bad. we'll find out together. Coming up next on 94.5 ESPN is Game 5 of the World Series. If you saw the hard-hitting analysis from Game 5 from Magic Johnson, this is a pivotal one,
pivotal,
folks.
Pivotal, important.
Very pivotal.
Must win.
Big Game 5 coming up next right here on 94.5 ESPN.